Good morning. Great to see you all. If you have been attending this service since it was founded, you are exactly where you are supposed to be. If you are here for the first time, you are exactly where you are supposed to be. This is a divinely appointed moment for each one of us. I'm fortunate. I get to do this for a living. And I am overwhelmed with gratitude on a regular basis that I get to be a part of what God is doing in the world in an intentional way as a community of faith. It is a certainty. It's something that I have personally experienced, that we never know when. It's not something that can be conjured. It's not something that can be manipulated or contrived. But one encounter with God can absolutely change the trajectory of our lives. One word, sometimes an actual word, and some of you know what I'm talking about. We will hear a word. It's like an impartation in a way, a revelation, an illumination that is ultimately ineffable. We can't fully explain it. But God can and does change our lives in such a way that we will never be the same. Your presence this morning in itself is an act of worship. So I invite you to sincerely open your hearts, your minds, your spirits, and welcome God to reveal God's self to you in a new and a fresh way. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to fear when it comes to God. So I open my heart, my mind, and my spirit, and with you, we welcome God's presence. I invite you to stand as you are able as we open worship with a song of praise.
We're going to do some call and response, so please sing back to me with you.
Please, through you my heart screams, I am free.
Aren't you glad you came this morning? My goodness. Wow. My goodness. I invite you to pray with me. Most gracious and loving God, you are welcome in this place. We thank you that you have prompted us by your Spirit to be here, and there's no place we would rather be. You know the needs of each person in this room, and we know that you are the one to meet our every need. Lift our spirits to see ourselves, one another, and the world as you see it. May this time of worship renew our strength. Inspire us to be the people that you have called us to be. Fill us with your joy, the joy that is infectious and causes other people to want to know what we know. These things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Time full of war, be peace. In a time full of doubt, just believe. Yeah, there ain't that much difference between you and me. In a time full of war, be peace. In a world full of hate, be a light. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Oh, no hide in the dark, you were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be a light. La, 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 la. In a place that needs a change, make a difference. In a time full of noise, just listen. Life is but a breeze, better live it. In a place that needs a change, make a difference. In a world full of hate, be a light. When you do somebody wrong, make it right.
Oh, don't hide in the dark, you were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be a light.
La, la, la.
Part of living.
If you didn't believe in God before you arrived, you do now, don't you? My goodness. In many ways, that song, that prayer is potentially a dangerous prayer. As we grow in faith, essentially we're growing in trust. I remember the first time I understood that, I had driven up into the mountains. I'd actually gone with my mother. It was during the fall in North Georgia, and the leaves were changing, and it's just beautiful during that time of year. I was driving, and at the angle where we had come to a stop, I could not see to my right. It was just the location of where we were. And I asked her if it was safe to move forward. And she said that it is. And it dawned on me, as simple as that is, I had to take her word for it. I couldn't see. We are called to walk by faith, sometimes when we can't see. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How many of you know that God actually speaks to us? God wants to communicate with us. God doesn't want to be aloof. God will go to any length to reveal God's self to us. God does not cause all things. God does not cause the trouble that we go through. God can and will cause all things to work for good. I am often amazed at the faith of those who have come before us. The Apostle Paul was a human being like you and like me, and this may be controversial, but I think sometimes Paul said some things that if he had known that 2,000 years later Jesus would not have come back in the way that he thought, he might be mortified with some of the things he said. But he was a person of profound faith. Writing from prison, not sure if he was going to meet Jesus in any given day, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Imagine that. Not rejoice for all circumstances, but rejoice in all circumstances. He said, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, anything that we can even begin to comprehend, that peace, that trust, knowing that whatever temporarily thwarts God's purposes will not have the final word. God's love overcomes all, and therein lies our peace. The peace of God be with you." I invite you to share God's peace with one another. All right. The most difficult part of this service, getting you all to come back from greeting one another. It is a blessing in the truest sense of the word, and you're going to hear about blessedness, what it means to be blessed, in the sermon in a few moments. I hope that none of us take for granted the opportunity that we have to be in a welcoming church. We realize that every person really is a child of God. Each one of us has been created in God's image. There is an indelible imprint of the Creator of all that is within each one of us. Community church is a church that welcomes everyone because we take God's love seriously. God's love is more important than anything that would divide us. There are a number of things going on, as there always are at community church. I want to highlight just a couple. One is, if you've not attended Jazz Vespers, I encourage you to do so. I don't use this word very often, but Jazz Vespers is cool. It really is. This community hall is transformed. The aesthetic is transcendent. It's inspiring. There is some jazz music that's played for those of you who have not attended. We're becoming more and more intentional about making that a worship service. There are poems that are read. There are scripture readings that are read. There are prayers that are offered. There's quiet music and times for reflection. It is a moving and inspiring service if you've not attended. That will take place next week at 7 in this room. I encourage you, if you haven't, to give it a try. I don't think you'll regret it. I want to plug this not because I'll be the one facilitating it, but just because of how important it is. I believe the Sunday after Labor Day is September 8th. That following week, we're going to offer on at least 3 different occasions throughout the week a Faith Foundations course that'll run for 6 weeks. How many of you have ever wanted to know more about the Bible and what it is that we're reading when we open the Bible? There'll be a biblical literacy opportunity. We'll look at the history of the church, communities of faith, since they were founded right up until the present, and how the church has been able to be responsive to various different contexts. How many of you have ever wanted to be able to discern God's will, actually know what it is that God desires for you, the church, the world, your families? For some of us, it's not that we need to be taught, we need to be reminded, and I'm looking forward to this. So be watching for announcements for that. It's open to everyone. And if you can't attend them all, you're welcome to attend the ones that you can, but there'll be some more specific information coming in the next couple of weeks. Today's passage, scripture reading, is one that one of the great faith witnesses, some of you have heard of, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said, if this passage had been read consistently by people of faith, that World War II would never have taken place, and he was actually martyred in his resistance to what was happening and the atrocities that were taking place. That's instructive to us today. The warring that goes on within our spirits, the warring that goes on within our minds, the violence that exists sometimes within our own hearts. Howard Thurman, if you don't know who that is, Google Howard Thurman. He's considered a mystic and a prophet. His words inspired the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King, when he was in prison, would ask for 2 books, the Bible and a book written by Howard Thurman called Jesus and the Disinherited. But he said this, the evil that we would seek to uproot in the world exists at long last in the soils of our own backyards. I believe that meditations on these truly inspired and inspiring words helps to uproot the evil that exists within us. Evil, in essence, is a failure to recognize who we are, a failure to recognize who others are. Hear these words of Jesus as recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. This is the word of God for each and every one of us, the children of God. Thanks be to God.
Beloved in Christ, beloved who are at home today worshiping or out on the road traveling, wherever you may be, beloved across the courtyard in C2, you've got Dr. Jacob today, and we're so grateful that we can be united on this campus, though we are in two different places. Jacob's going to be away now for a little bit of vacation and come back preaching Labor Day weekend. So good morning to all of you over there in C2. We're so glad to see you this morning. We're going to have a three-part conversation these next weeks in August from the Beatitudes, the first chapter of Matthew. So we start today with the text about being blessed, being blessed by God. Next week about salt and light. You'll hear more about that later. So we invite you to open your heart and your mind and your spirit as we receive God's word for this day. Please pray with me. We thank you, God, that you are the Lord of life, the author of all that was, is, or ever shall be. We're deeply grateful that you have brought us through the storms of yesterday to the refreshment of a new day, perhaps a way of seeing all of life. You see us through every storm, and you bring us to a more pleasant side, beside still waters, living in green pastures, even when the world seems to be falling apart. We ask that you would open us to your word today, a fresh word for a familiar text, that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear the good news that you have for us this day. For you are the Lord and the rock of our very being. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I missed all of you and prayed for you while we were vacating, a whirlwind trip visiting five churches and as many communities from Colorado to Maine. We spent precious time with friends and family. When we came to be with you here at the Community Church of Vero Beach 5 years ago for 6 months, we vacated our historic mountain cabin. It's a little log cabin built in 1919. Returning these past weeks, we rolled up our sleeves and we hauled pine cones and pine needles and fallen aspen in the back of a trailer to the sort yard. There, a forest ranger researches what you bring, how far from the house it came, and then directs you to the appropriate place to leave it. What you may not know is that out west, every property owner becomes hypervigilant about wildfire mitigation. And we had some catching up to do. We're also mindful that we're guests in the wilderness, occupied by all manner of creatures who lived there long before we humans came along. There's a smaller cabin on our property that experienced this summer what seemed like an endless visitation of mice, a weasel, and a squirrel who managed to crawl up through a hole from the crawl space that had been left by a careless workman who forgot to seal it back up when he fixed the heater last year. We have a renter. She's a wilderness girl who's accustomed to wilderness challenges. But in the second week that we were there, she reached her limit when she woke up in the middle of the night to find a bat in her hair. It turns out that they're a protected species in Colorado. Who knew? So between the first four wildfires of the season that shut down the only roads that access our property from down in the valley, and the unwillingness of any company I called to drive up in any case to deal with bats, we had to take things into our own hands. We discovered that there was a nest inside the ceiling panel, and when we closed off the open pipe on the roof, they found a crack to escape through the house. 14 of them over a 2-week period. So here's something you might not know that could come in handy. How you get rid of bats. At about 9 o'clock at night, you sit down with a good book and you turn on all the lights in the house and you open the door to the darkness and you wait for them to fly out and go hunting. And then you shut the door. By that method, eventually they all left. We sealed up the roof and we hope problem solved. When you live in the wilderness, there's always something that needs attention. And there's always some creature, great or small, that would prefer to worm their way into your safe and warm and dry house than risk the storms that rage out there. So we lock the doors and the windows to the house at night, and we make sure to lock the vehicles after cleaning them out thoroughly of soda cans and dog food and gum wrappers and anything else that might attract larger predators. Nevertheless, the third morning of vacation, my husband Ellis yelled up at me as he was taking his dog out for his morning constitutional, "Something broke into our cars last night." We'd both forgotten to lock our vehicles, and the doors to both hung open. The muddy bear print on the front seat identified the culprit. As he looked around and didn't find anything interesting, he ambled off looking for more careless stash. About once a year or so, a local resident or a tourist leaves food in their car. The bear gets in, sitting on a slant, the door slams behind him, and he completely totals the car trying to get back out. They know how to use the door handle on the outside to enter, but they don't have the dexterity to open the mechanism from the inside. How many of you knew these things, right? I'm being really educative this morning, am I not? We were extremely fortunate. Now, this brings us to the gospel lesson for this morning, what we know of as the Beatitudes. There was a large group that gathered, it says, on the hill, and Jesus sat down with his disciples on that hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and he prepares them for life in the wilderness. This is right before his first sermon, what we know of as the Sermon on the Mount, on how we are to live in the world as salt and light for the world. But it starts here first, wilderness directions. He started this way. You, beloved, precious you are blessed by God. You are blessed. You are blessed by God before you do any good thing. You are blessed by God when your life goes well. And you are blessed by God when your life falls apart. In today's lesson, Jesus lays the essential groundwork that he knows the disciples are going to need in order to later embody the love of God for the world. It's going to be hard. The path of road ahead is going to be very difficult. He knows that they're going to need a radical rethinking of what it means to be blessed. You see, the kingdom of the world thinks we're blessed by what we have and by what we accomplish, and if we're lucky enough to mostly avoid disasters. Jesus taught the upside-down kingdom. We are blessed in the kingdom of God whether we prosper by the world's standards or not. Whether we're the insiders with our names on statues in the public square, or marginalized by poverty, loneliness, grief, or alienation at the fringe. Jesus teaches us that whatever we're up against, or whatever is up against us, we are, you are, God's blessed one. Then Jesus gets down to the business of how we are to live as salt and light for the world, which will be our reflection next Sunday. Jesus knew what the disciples would be up against. He knew how difficult the road ahead would be. He wants them, first of all, to understand that they already live under a cloud of grace by virtue of the fact that God loved them into being long ago. And God blesses them everywhere, all the time. Jesus gets us. Jesus knows that there's always a bear trying to get into our space and disturb our peace. There's a bear in your life right now that's causing you worry. That bear may be somebody you're mad at, somebody who's mad at you, someone you profoundly disagree with, someone who's in your face about something. Blessed are the merciful in those circumstances, for they will receive mercy. God is already at work bringing you back to joy, even in the midst of your consternation. That bear may be grief for a circumstance you cannot change, the death of a loved one, a difficult medical diagnosis, an unexpected life change, worry for a loved one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That bear may be a division in your family as you struggle away to find a way forward with what may seem like a bunch of drama or crazies. There's a lot of that going around these days, isn't there? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You know the kind of wilderness you're facing right now, and you know the bear that's trying to disturb your peace. You see, God wants you to be deeply happy. God wants our communities to be united and well in every way, well with our bodies, well with our relationships, well with our soul. The Greek word makarios, blessed, means happy. Makarios is a fairly common word in the New Testament that describes the kind of deep happiness or contentment, well-being, we experience when we align ourselves with God's will. When our relationship with God becomes our guidepost in the wilderness, we know we're going to be all right no matter what. We know that we're blessed even when we suffer, and sometimes we will, we all do. And we know we're blessed when things are going as we hope. God blesses us through every wilderness, whatever circumstances we may face. Jesus understood keenly that suffering and conflict we humans experience. Therefore, the kind of happiness he was talking about isn't a birthday party. That would be false, wouldn't it, when life is really sometimes just very hard. When he said that we're blessed when we mourn, he didn't mean that mourning is our desired state and that we should walk around all of our life in sackcloth and ashes. Rather, knowing that we all do mourn, we nevertheless receive godly gifts even in our mourning that sustain us through the worst of circumstances. One of you over in C2 in the band know who I'm talking about, always says to me, "I'm too blessed to be stressed." Thank you very much for that. To be blessed is to be deeply happy, not superficially. Not happy because you've got lots of money or fine stuff or great accomplishments. That's all good and well. But Jesus was talking here about something else. New Testament professor Amy Oden writes that within God's life, within God's kingdom, blessedness does not depend on wealth or health or status. It is not a reward for righteousness or duty. Rather, blessedness is God's sheer gift. In the realm of God, life is not governed by honor or by shame, but by the promise of abundant life for all. Mourning, poverty of spirit, and meekness, which means a willingness to not insist on your own way, all these reveal this inbreaking of God's abundant life. When we have eyes to see our lives within the kingdom of God, it's like pushing the reset button to discover and then enact another way of being in the world that is entirely countercultural to what we experience out there. In our emptiness, when we mourn, when we're poor in spirit, all emptied out, when it seems as if the world is against us, those are sometimes the very moments when we both rely upon and then experience God's miraculous presence, making a way in the wilderness when it seemed as if there was absolutely no way. When we're all full of ourselves and everything's going great, it's easy to think it's all about us, what we've accomplished, what we have going for us. When we're too busy with the busyness of our accomplishments, it's literally as if there's no room at the end for God to do a new thing. Blessed then are the poor in spirit, the ones not so full of themselves. They open their lives to the holy, who can reorder their lives for the reign of God. Once, a long time ago, there was a wise Zen master. You know this story. People from far and near would seek his counsel and ask for his wisdom. Many would come and ask him to teach them, enlighten them in the path of peace. He seldom turned anybody away. One day, a man of very great accomplishment and worldly importance came to visit the master. "I've come today to ask you to teach me about Zen. Open my mind to enlightenment." The tone of the important man's voice sounded a lot more like a demand than a humble request. He was accustomed to getting his own way. The Zen master smiled and agreed to discuss the matter over a cup of tea. When the tea was served, the master poured his visitor a cup first. He poured and poured until the tea rose and came to the brim and then spilled over on the table and then over onto the man's coat. Finally, the visitor shouted, "Enough! You're spilling the tea all over me. Can't you see that the cup is full?" The teacher stopped pouring and smiled at his guest. "You are like this teacup, so full that nothing can be added. Come back to me when your cup is empty." Pastor David Loos reflects that God reveals God's self to us most clearly and consistently at our places of deepest need, when we're hurting, when we're lost, when we don't know what to do next, when we're frightened. What would it be like if together we became a place where we recognize that God always comes to us when we least expect God, and where we least expect God to be, right there amidst our brokenness, our uncertainty, in the middle of our fear, in order to bless that which the world refuses to bless, to love what the world calls unlovable, and to redeem that which the world does not believe merits saving, including us. Here at Community Church, we're now leaning into a fall season filled with uncertainty. It's true for churches all over the country and those not in church at all. What's the future of our country going to be like? How will the complicated circumstances of the Middle East resolve? Who will be our next senior minister? Through this next season, we're likely to find some muddy paw prints trying to break into our blessedness. We wonder, are we going to be all right? Jesus calls to us now. Jesus calls to you, blessed, beloved one. You are now already and always will be all right. Thanks be to God. Amen.
In a moment you were forgotten, you are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen, I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your
I invite you to pray with me. Most merciful God, we thank you that you hear our whispers. We thank you that you hear the prayers that are too profound for us to begin to articulate. We thank you that you know our deepest longings and pinings. You know the bears that we face in our spirits, in our souls, in our minds. We thank you for the one who revealed that the reality of your love is far greater than anything that tries to resist your love. We thank you for the one who revealed what power really is. We thank you for the one who reveals what your purpose is, and that love is the only power capable of fulfilling it. Each person within the sound of my voice is going through a personal struggle. My prayer this morning is that they will encounter you anew. That their prayer will be the prayer of Paul. That rather than worrying or being anxious, that we'll present all that is in our hearts, minds, and spirits to you. We ask that you would continually transform us. Inspire us to empty our cups so that you can fill us with your spirit. Help us to be more than just believers in the one you sent, but believers of the one you sent. The great teacher who teaches us how to love one another teaches us to love ourselves, which for some of us can be the most difficult one of all. Having been inspired by this extraordinary worship service, having had our spirits lifted so high that we would need to look down to see heaven, we ask that we would go from this place filled with joy, filled with hope, filled with faith and trust in you, that we will be a transformed and transforming presence, that when we encounter others, they will look up and see not just us, but you who lives in us. These things we ask in the name of the one who taught us so much, including how to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I invite you to stand one more time as you are able, as this extraordinary, extraordinary group of worship leaders, let's thank them. My goodness. Really. Thank you. Thank you. Each one of you, you're such a gift. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm so blessed, hallelujah, blessed. I'm so blessed, hallelujah, blessed.
Trouble knocking at my door today. I ain't gonna let it in. Worry wanna steal my joy away. I ain't gonna let it win. It's on my best day. I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child of God. Oh, every day. Yes, Lord.
day. I'm a child of God. Oh, every day is a good day. You're the reason why. On my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child of God. Oh, every day is a good day. You're the reason why. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Kindness heartbeat in my chest.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses our ability to understand it, the peace of God that surpasses anything we could fully comprehend, the peace of God that comes from knowing that on our best day, we are children of God, the peace of God that comes from knowing on our worst day, we are children of God. May that peace guard and sustain our hearts, our minds, our spirits this day and forevermore. Amen.